might find in the announcements, by all means do so. But once again, welcome. We are glad that you're here. In the back of your bulletin, you will find a number of announcements. Let me highlight two or three of them. This afternoon will be our congregational prayer time, our monthly prayer time, and that will be at 5:30 in the lobby area. So come and join us for a time of prayer if you are able to do so. Also, you will be getting some quarterly contribution statements. You can read all about it there. You'll be getting a regular end-of-the-year statement, but this is for the purpose of noting any errors. That would be very, very helpful to Tara Pilecki. So just a heads up on that. We also have a summer fellowship breakfast, and this will be next Sunday, July 14th. If you have not done so already, please RSVP your attendance with Lisa Johnson. You'll find her email address down there. And let her know if you can bring perhaps a food dish or food item for the breakfast. Also, save the date for Vacation Bible School. That will be July 22nd through the 26th, from 1:30 in the afternoon until 4:30. If you can help out in any way, get in touch with Nick Betancourt, and you'll find his email address down there in the ad and also his cell phone number. Now, Candace McDougall is sick this morning, and I got a hold of Lucas Lambers, and he graciously offered to fill in for Candace, and so he'll be playing for us this morning. So with that said, let's turn off our electronic devices and anything else that would cause distraction while we seek after and worship our great triune God. And let's do that as we begin by the call to worship. I'd ask you to stand. The call to worship comes from Psalm 92. It is responsive. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High. To the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Let's take our hymnals and remain standing and turn to number 115 as we sing together.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, indeed, we come this morning to praise your holy name, to exalt you and lift you up, and to acknowledge your power over all of our lives and over all of the universe. Lord, may we come before you with song, with praises, with confession of sin, and with open eyes and open ears to hear your word spoken to us by your Spirit. And so, Lord, now we humbly invoke your blessing upon this service of worship. We pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your holy name, and we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Song of Solomon. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among the brambles, so is my love among the young women. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He grazes among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and hearts right now in a time of prayer, and let's confess our sins together. Heavenly Father, as we begin our worship service, we acknowledge and renew our memory about our faith. Lord, we also bring before you our sins. We thank you for the blood of Christ that takes away the sin of the world. And so, Lord, afresh and anew, may we all confess our sins silently to you and then close with a unison prayer together. Lord, hear us as we all pray together. Receive my confession, O most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope for the salvation of my soul. Grant to me true contrition, so that day and night I may be sorry from the heart for my sins. Savior of the world, O good Jesus, who gave yourself to the death of the cross to save sinners, look upon me, most wretched of all sinners. Have pity on me, and give me the light to know my sins, true sorrow for them, and a firm purpose of never committing them again. Amen. Our assurance of pardon comes from Ephesians 2. Paul says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Holy Father, the one who created all things and has given us our life and the breath of our lungs, who has even brought us here this morning to worship. We thank you for bringing us here on this Lord's Day so that we can be reminded, as we just were, of your marvelous promise of forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord, who died, was buried, and rose again from the dead and ascended into the heavenly places, where we are even seated with him now. And this worship reminds us of this truth, that we belong to you. I am his and he is mine. And because of this, Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, the prayers of your people. As we intercede this morning in this prayer, I pray that you would hear us, because we don't offer this prayer in our name, but in the name of our great high priest and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so first, Lord, I pray for the victims of Hurricane Beryl. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to recover from the damage from this hurricane. And we pray for wars all around the world, that you would bring peace, as your word promises one day will happen, as the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We pray, Lord, for the future of our church, for the sale of some of our property, for our Spanish ministries. We pray for Luis and his family as they grow that service and the congregants over there. I pray, Lord, that you would help Luis minister to them, grow him as a leader. Help his family, Lord. Help his home to be a nursery for heaven. And may they continue to see great gospel fruit in the work that we are doing there. We pray for our ESL ministries, our youth and children's ministry, our college and career ministry, and all the other things that we have, Lord. I pray that you would bless them, and that may they bear fruit. We also pray for our previous associate pastor, Danny, who's healing from surgery, and we pray for good test results. I pray, Lord, that you would heal him and bless his family as they, especially his wife, as they are taking care of him in this very difficult, scary time. So we pray for them. We also pray for others who are struggling with illnesses and other things, like my wife, Catalina, and healing for her hip surgery. We pray that the healing would continue and that it would go speedily and that she would get back to normal. And we pray for Elaine and Sheila Colbert and Craig, as he's still healing from his surgery. And Becky Yu with her mitochondrial disease. We pray for Judy Smith and her battle against Parkinson's. And we pray for Lenore Ball for divine purposes to come to fruition in her life, that you would call her to yourself and make it very clear that you work all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We pray, Lord, for others who are confined, like Aline Colley and Ron Quick and Pat Barden. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their spirits as they are confined. Encourage their hearts. Bring about within them a great gospel joy that cannot be explained apart from the work of your Spirit in the hearts of your people. We pray, Lord, for those involved in missions, the missionaries that we support as a church, like Don and Leah Vanderplug, and Rodney and Jana Davila, and Dave and Paige Haas, and Otto Monden at RUF. We also pray for him with broken ribs, healing from that. I pray, Lord, that you would give him a speedy recovery and help him as he's preparing for the school year that's beginning here shortly. We pray also for SIETN and Jimbo and Ann Mullen. Bless these missionaries, Lord. Bless their homes, their families. Bless their ministries. May many people come to know you through your Son by the Spirit through their work. And so, Lord, we trust that the God of Israel has heard what we have asked of him this morning. And we are reminded then of that model prayer that Jesus, our Lord, taught us to pray many years ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to the Lord, How is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, and let us go from here. The word of the Lord. Our offertory hymn this morning, in lieu of Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery, we're going to turn in our hymnals number 307, and we'll sing Nothing But the Blood, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 only of number 307. Let's stand together as we sing. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given to us an enormous gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. How could we ever repay you? How could we ever thank you sufficiently? But Lord, you've called us to give our tithes and offerings. And so may the gifts that we give today be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord, now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
For the doxology. Be seated. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you once again. Our text this morning is Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, a short but beautiful, wonderful text in the book of Colossians. But before we begin, let's pray, asking the Lord for help. Father in heaven, our great God and King, we can do nothing apart from you, let alone preach your word. And so I pray that by the power of your Spirit, your word would be preached rightly today, and that all of us would feel a strong sense of what you're telling us in your word, for it is the very speech of the living God. Illuminate it for the people of God, so that we may not simply be hearers but doers of the word, believing upon your precious promises, living in light of your precious promises, and living lives that glorify and enjoy you forever and ever. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Why do we all seek help in earthly things? Why do we seek help in earthly things? Especially when we have an innate understanding that there is so much more to life than what the eye can see. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he says, "What can be known about God is plain to us, because God has shown it to us. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." It's a very strong statement. We all know that nothing around us makes any sense apart from an invisible God with eternal power and a divine nature. For the things that have been made make this evidently clear. And yet, we still look to human traditions or worldly comforts, or in the immediate context in our text this morning, some may look to man-made religion or severity of the body. As Paul says, if you have your Bibles open in Colossians 2, right before our passage, he says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You see, some in our day, we turn to therapy, exercise, pharmaceuticals. While many of these things are good and can help in certain ways, none of these things can stop the indulgence of the flesh. And Paul, therefore, is answering in our text this morning, where is true help found? How can we truly stop the indulgence of the flesh? It's not with man-made religion, as he just mentioned. It's not with asceticism. It's not with severity to the body. And so what we will see this morning is this. This is our big picture. That contemplation on our heavenly reservation has profound ramifications. I'll say that again. Contemplation on our heavenly reservation has profound ramifications. And so first, our outline looks like this. We will see, seek Christ above, verses 1 and 2. And then, why should you seek Christ above? Point 2, because you're hidden with Christ above, in verses 3 and 4. So seek Christ above, hidden with Christ above. And so first, let's draw our attention to the first couple of verses, let me remind us what this says here. Paul says, if therefore you were raised with the Messiah, seek the above, where the Messiah is seated by the right hand of God. Consider the above, not that which is on the earth. And so what we see here is that since the Messiah, our Savior, is at the right hand of the Father, we must draw our affections to the heavens. For our minds are so easily contemplating the dirt, the dust of the ground, earthly things. Now, Colossians was written in order to exhort the churches of Colossae to stand firm on Christ, not falling into the ditches of vain philosophy on the one hand, or the Judaizing tendencies and their arguments on the other, rooted and grounded in the knowledge of our holistic union with Christ, which in turn sanctifies our whole beings by the Spirit. This is what we need. We don't need vain philosophy. We don't need the Judaizing false brethren ideas. And in our specific passage, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the Colossians to draw their affections and their minds heavenward, with their bodies free from the anxiety of death, knowing that they are seated with their Savior and thus free from the cares of the world. And this is what has the power to stop the indulgence of the flesh, not vain philosophies. And so in the first couple verses here, Paul admonishes all of us to seek that which is above instead of which is on the earth. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins and rose again on the third day and is coming back to judge the world, then you have been raised with him. You see, so often American evangelicals, but because of an emphasis and a call for a personal relationship with Christ, very good thing, and our focus on justification, being made right with God, being declared guilty, which, again, is a very good focus to have, we've often missed the primary category in the Apostle Paul, which is union with Christ. Salvation, you see, being saved, is so much more than being justified, being declared not guilty. That's a central part to salvation. And if you get that wrong, you get the whole gospel wrong. Paul makes that clear. As Luther was not wrong when he said, justification is the article by which the church stands and falls. So that's true. With that being said, Paul's overarching category throughout his epistles is that of union with Christ. If you read through Paul's epistles, he will constantly be referring to being in Christ or with Christ. One great example of this is Romans chapter 6. I can give you many examples, but here's one summary in Romans chapter 6. Hear the word of the Lord. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, into Christ, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, in the Apostle Paul's doctrine of salvation, then, the overarching category is union with Christ. And because you've been united with Christ, you've been born again by grace and justified by faith, not of works. Because you've been united to him, you are sanctified and are being sanctified. Because you are united to Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God, you see. And because you've been united to him, you will be glorified with him when he returns. For when you see him face to face, you will become like him, your precious Savior. And therefore, what we see here in our text is one of Paul's clearest, beautiful, powerful, theologically dense articulations of what salvation is all about. Being mystically united to your Lord, your Master, your friend, your King, your God, Jesus the Messiah. Everything that has been given to Jesus is given to you and will be given to you. Everything that has been declared about him will be declared about you and is declared about you. Everything that he inherits, you will inherit. He is righteous, therefore, so are you. He is loved by the Father, therefore, so are you. He is sinless, and therefore, you are declared sinless, though you are not. He is one with the Spirit, therefore, you are indwelt by his Spirit. He owns the world, and therefore so do you. He is at the right hand of the Father, and therefore so are you even now, as Matthew preached last week. He was raised, and therefore so will you. And this Messiah never had his mind set on earthly things, but only heavenly. And therefore you are to live in the same way. A while back, I was listening to a podcast where one of the hosts, who is a very wealthy individual, and he was reflecting on the craziness of his previous lifestyle, drug-addicted lifestyle, kind of rooted in all his childhood trauma and the terrible childhood that he had. And he said this: you make $1 million, you hang out with beautiful women, and you think all the terrors of your past will go away. You think this stuff will truly comfort you, or that through the money, the drugs, the women, you will manipulate your way out of these demons that come to you when you are alone. But those things don't help you forget. powerful. You see, setting your mind and heart on the dirt, on the things of this world, will not help satisfy you. They will not help you change the indulgence of the flesh, let alone change anything about you for the positive. Christian, we must draw our affections to the heavens, for our minds are so easily contemplating the dirt, the dust of the ground. Dirt or the stars, what do you prefer? Do you spend time thinking and meditating solely on earthly things? Is your mind taken captive by the tyranny of the urgent? Or do you set your mind on the things that are above? When you possess the spirit of the King of the universe, who has empowered you to have true satisfaction in Him by His indwelling spirit, through the means He has provided in order for you to seek what is above, prayer, scripture, the sacraments, fellowship, fasting, this is what enables us to draw our affections to the heavenlies, where Christ is and where we are, because we are in Him by His Spirit. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And this, you see, requires our contemplation. This requires our contemplation. In the book of Hebrews, the author is admonishing the congregation to stand firm. This is one of my favorite little sections in my favorite book of the Bible, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, he's encouraging the congregation to stand firm on Christ. And he wants them to meditate on deep theological truths, like Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But he pauses midway and says, "You're dull of hearing. You can't really understand this. Many of you should be teachers by now. What are you doing?" And then he says this, 5:14, "Solid food is for the mature, who through habit have had their senses trained to distinguish good and evil." You see, brothers and sisters, those of us who have been united to Christ wholly, holistically, completely, mystically, wonderfully, must consider or seek or diligently think on that which is above, distinguishing good from evil, as the author of Hebrews puts it. We must diligently think on where Christ is, and therefore where we are. If indeed you did not believe in vain, if indeed you truly believe that your sin was washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of Him who is your Creator, your Master, your Redeemer, your Lord, your Friend, we must consider these things. You see, contemplation on our heavenly reservation has profound ramifications. Let's now consider verses 3 and 4, where Paul tells us why. I titled this, "Hidden with Christ Above." And so Paul first exhorts us to seek what is above, and now he tells us why. Why should you seek what is above instead of what is on the earth as a believer? Let's read these verses once more. He says, "For you all have died, and your life has been hidden with the Messiah in God. When Messiah is revealed, who is your life, then even you will be revealed with Him in glory." And what does it mean to be hidden with Christ, with the Messiah in God? What does this mean? This clearly is the first question we must ask. First, let's remember that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we learn that in Christ himself, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found or are hidden. And so take note that the beauty of this truth, take note of this, that your life is hidden with the One who holds all wisdom and knowledge, and even better said, He Himself is all wisdom and knowledge, and your life belongs to Him. You are in the heavenly places. And so Paul is saying your life belongs to Jesus, but not just belongs to Jesus. You are so one with Him that in a spiritual sense it can be said you are with Him right now in the heavenly places. So whom shall you fear? What can man do to me? Another way of explaining what it means to be hidden with Christ in God is Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, Christian, this is not your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are united to Christ to the extent that when He is revealed, you also will be revealed in glory. You see, when your flesh died, when your flesh dies, as Christ's flesh did, when He returns, you will be resurrected in the same way He was when He returns. Listen again to what he says. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ is revealed, who is your life, you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Don't overlook that little phrase, Christ, your life, or Messiah, who is your life. Jesus, you see, is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is your life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus, my friends, is where life is found. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This point that we are hidden with Christ in God, we're hidden with Him above, the point is this. That since Christ is our strong tower, our fortress, our king, we must find our life in Him. We must find our life in Him, drawing our affections to Him and not in the gifts that He gives to us. View Him as the gift, and all the gifts that the true gift Himself has given will be sweeter than ever. Whether you know Christ this morning or not, I first want you to recognize the emptiness of this world. The emptiness of this world. This world has so little to offer you other than the Creator Himself who created it. And the reason it has so little to offer right now is because of sin. We sought out many devices, many schemes, and we, due to our sinful natures, ruined the wonderful world that God has made. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that all the believing ones shall not perish but have everlasting life. We have all felt the hurt, the pain, and the suffering that this world can bring. What is better than knowing that your life is hidden with Christ in God? What is better than being able to say confidently that Christ is my life and I'm in Him, and by His Spirit who lives in me, I will become like Him more and more as I see the day drawing near. And one day I will see Him face to face and therefore be like Him. And so, brethren, we should strive to see Christ who is above, knowing that we are hidden with Christ who is above. Contemplation on our heavenly reservation has profound ramifications. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We ask You, Lord, now as we go to the supper, and that You would help us to contemplate on this precious, special meal where we look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray, Lord, that You would help us all to apprehend Your precious promises by faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand together. And let's sing the first two verses, three verses of hymn 246. Let's stand and sing.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very good and right in our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with the angels and the archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated. I'd like to read the words of institution to you this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. Matthew says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ left behind this supper for all believers in him, for all time, to enjoy a special moment of communion with him. You know, when we get to know somebody, there are different levels. We meet someone, we form a friendship. But when we go to somebody's home to have a meal, it takes that relationship to a new level. That's essentially what's taking place here. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to believe in him, to look at his cross, his resurrection, and to put our full faith and trust in him and all the implications of what he did. And when we do that, we're demonstrating that we have hope in no one and nothing else except in him, that we trust him, and that our relationship with him is intimate. And so we come to his table. He takes this very seriously. We see that in the book of 1 Corinthians, whenever the Corinthians came to the Lord's table in a haphazard manner, in a superficial manner, there was sickness, there was even death. And so that's why when we come to this table, we are partaking of the Lord himself, not carnally, but spiritually. We don't believe that these elements miraculously become the actual body and blood of Jesus. But just as Nick has preached this morning, we set our minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. We look to those things which are invisible realities, not simply the visible. And so whenever we take the bread and the wine, we are spiritually feasting upon the Lord Jesus. I invite you to do that today. If you've made a profession of faith in Christ and you're a member in good standing of some evangelical church, it does not have to be Christ Central. You are certainly welcome to partake of the elements. If you've never done those things, if you've never professed faith in Christ, the supper is not for you. It would not be to your advantage to take advantage of these elements. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us to set our minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Father, I pray now for these spiritual realities, these mysteries of the wonderful, intimate table that you left behind for us. That, Lord, these beautiful truths and mysteries would come true in our own lives. That, Lord, we would enter a point of incredible intimacy. That our faith and trust in you would be more and more realized here on earth until we go to be with you in heaven. And so, Lord, take these common, ordinary, everyday elements of bread and wine and set them aside to extraordinary use as we partake by faith. Lord, bless us now in this service of communion, and to that end, to glorify you, we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
On the night our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Brothers and sisters, now each row will be dismissed by our deacons, and you will come forward to receive the wine and the bread. And I'd like to remind you also that the wine is served on the outermost ring of the tray, and the grape juice is in the inner tray. And also, if you're unable to come forward, please just raise your hand, and one of our elders will come to you with the elements. Christian, the body of Christ. The blood of Christ, drink ye all of it. Holy Father, thank you for providing us this precious meal where we have gotten to think upon what Christ has done for us on the cross by pouring his precious blood from Emmanuel's veins. And Lord, we also thank you for reminding us of this marriage supper of the Lamb that we await, where Jesus Christ will serve us with sweet manna all around. I pray that as we go forth from here, we would live lives in light of this supper, in light of being ones who are united to Christ, who drink upon him, feasting upon him, being nourished by him, by your Spirit. May we live in light of this, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand again and sing the final two verses of Man of Sorrows. Let's sing. Hear the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.